I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, executive editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Taylor Lehman, who is director for the Office of the CISO at Google Cloud. Taylor, who was a longtime CISO in the healthcare sector prior to joining Google, and I will be discussing some of the latest regulatory developments involving cybersecurity in the healthcare sector. So, Taylor, as you know, the Department of Health and Human Services recently issued guidance specifying certain voluntary cybersecurity performance goals that the healthcare sector should be trying to implement. The so-called CPGs are broken into two categories: essential and enhanced. HHS also indicated that these so-called voluntary goals will inform new enforceable cybersecurity standards. The CPGs are also part of a larger strategy that the Biden administration has to improve cybersecurity in the healthcare sector. So, Taylor, based on what you see, what do you think about HHS's plan so far to help boost cybersecurity in the healthcare sector? Is this where we need to go and why?
I'm encouraged to see so much activity being taking place right now. The last year, with the CPGs kind of being the latest sort of activity, has been pretty productive. We started with the Omnibus, the Appropriations Act, which got into a focus on secure and safe medical devices, which I think many of us in the industry were happy to see finally something there. We've been doing more now with looking at AI and use of health AI and underscoring the importance of security and its relationship with safety there. HHS, late last year started to allude to there being more here in terms of the CPGs. They talked also about additional resources that were going to, be put in place to incentivize and implement actually better cybersecurity in hospitals, specifically, a greater strategy around education, a strategy around enforcement and accountability. So there's just been so much in the last year. It's hard to be critical, especially from someone in my shoes who has felt very strongly for a long time that something needed to be done to really make this more of a priority. So I'm positive on it. I do think the devil's in the details, though. And I'm curious and kind of holding my breath to see what is going to happen with HIPAA in particular. That's one area I'm waiting to see. And then how will we translate the law and to what level of prescriptiveness will it be when whatever comes next comes next?
So, with that said, when you do start drilling down on the various goals that HHS has set, which goals do you think entities are most likely to struggle with and why?
Well, I think the one unique thing about the CPGs that wasn't immediately obvious to me when I first read it, and then I've read them a couple of times, is they've done a good job of A, being data-driven, which is to say they took a retrospective look at what didn't work or has worked in the past of protecting systems, and they issued guidance that was basically the answer to many of those events. And had those recommendations been in place at the time, the organizations who they studied had experienced events, they wouldn't have had them in the first place. So I think the data-driven nature of it was really good in general. I also think by focusing on the essential and enhanced, they did a good job of explaining what are the very, very basic things you need to do. And they didn't start out with, here's a recommendation on, for example, do an inventory of systems and software. And while that's super important, and that's been guidance that has been given to industry for years, that particular guidance is really, really hard to actually do. So in many organizations, just because they can't do that activity, for example, they don't do anything. The CPGs did a good job of putting very reasonable and achievable goals in the essential. And I think it's a subtle thing, but I think it'll go a long way to helping organizations actually make progress. But I think, overall, there's a heavy emphasis on prevention, which I think is good, but it doesn't go far enough. I liked the focus on identity, basically making sure that the people who are in your systems are known and that they have the right levels of access. Like, there's no other more common breach that we see in cloud or anywhere that doesn't start with an identity problem. And I think that was really productive. But I would have really liked to have seen much more on resilience measures, specifically those things that keep systems up and running when there is a compromise of a network or a system. And that really speaks to a broader point around availability of systems. We continue to need to make progress that availability is the goal in a healthcare setting. The systems have to keep running and working and treating people. If they go down, bad things happen. And I'd say arguably that's much more of an important outcome we need to get to than say data privacy. Data privacy is important, but like if you had to choose between privacy and getting healthcare, I think most people would choose getting healthcare.
Taylor, what kind of help or various resources do you think healthcare sector entities might need to achieve these various goals that HHS has set?
Well, I think, the first thing anybody's going to have when they sit down and look at this and say, all right, I'm going to start, it's like what to start with. And while they are basic in general, there's 20 CPGs, so you can't do them all at once. I usually try to steer people towards the first activity is really get information about your environment. And if you can do that with like a focus on what are the things that are going to fail first and hurt the most, you will practically speaking, you're going to make more progress in a short amount of time by focusing on those things. So we talk about, go get a red team, go get a purple team assessment, go do some technical analysis of your network to show you where the weak parts are in it, in particular, the highest priority ones, and then overlay the results of that activity with the CPGs and or other guidance. Like NIST got some really great guidance on securing cloud, securing on-prem systems, securing medical devices. But really use the actual information about your environment to drive what you go do from a goal pursuit perspective.
Taylor, you've spent many years as a CISO in healthcare at a large healthcare organization. Do you see much overlap between the CPGs, the essential and the enhanced goals, and what entities should be doing under HIPAA already? Or is there much new material here that, kind of drives things forward?
There's nothing new here. This is guidance that's been given in different flavors for the better part of the last 2 decades. It stands out to me that it's still the prevailing guidance, which really should make you wonder why haven't we been able to get to this yet? If we've been talking about it for 2 decades, why is this still such a problem? And I think it's that a lot of this stuff is still a challenge because of factors really unrelated to cybersecurity, organizational politics, bureaucracy, the stacking of, which are typical things any organization really has their own flavor of, but those things do get in the way. One unique thing about healthcare is just this like tremendous amount of legacy technology that exists, a lot of old snowflakes, things, unique things that exist on the network that are really hard to secure because they require a very, very specific approach to do it. And, one of the things that I thought was interesting is, like really thinking about the technical debt is probably the thing that makes any of these goals exponentially hard is when you compare that to like modern computing platforms like cloud. And I went through this, with Google Cloud is just as an example because I work here. But like at least 8 of these goals, of the 20 goals, 8 of the goals are turned on by default on the cloud. Meaning if you took a server and you deployed it on premise, you'd have, say, 20 of these things to do. You took that same server and you deployed it into Google Cloud, you only have 12 things to do because eight of the 20 things are just done automatically, turned on for you. And so like just there, right? Like if we agree that, that the technology debt's a problem and the way out of technology debt is to upgrade and modernize systems, just like generally, like there's a data point here that says like it's true, right? Like almost half of your security burden goes away just by leveraging a new technology platform. I thought that was really powerful.
So Taylor, you're sort of talking about security by default. As you know, we do see a lot of incidents in the healthcare sector, but also other sectors that involve vendors. Do you think that the vendor community overall needs to sort of look at things in that security by default sort of manner, so that these mistakes that sometimes happen are less frequent, and that fewer organizations that use various products are victims of something that, oh, we forgot to set something. Oh, I didn't know we were supposed to do this.
Yeah, I think the more people who pick up on this idea and start to ship products where security is turned on and all the way up, almost to the point where the product itself is unusable and requires you to turn some of it off, like starting, if we were to start with technology that showed up on our loading docks or showed up in our internet browsers, like that worked that way and didn't require someone to go get a PhD in securing the device if it was shipped with nothing on. I think we wouldn't see many of the problems we see today. Like entire classes of threats would just not exist because, like, in many respects, like, you know, the secure option is also the only option. And we could do that if more people started really thinking about how to make their products designed for security and secure by default.
Taylor, as you know, the overall strategy also calls for an update of the HIPAA security rule. They're talking also about potential kind of sticks and carrots to get entities to adopt, some of these goals, even though they're being called voluntary. What do you think needs to be done to kind of push things forward when it comes to either new requirements or new incentives or, sticks and carrots? What do you think might make a difference?
I'm a little torn on this one. I think cyber security is a requirement. It's not an optional thing. And I think, especially, you know, in any business you're in, really, you know, it's not necessarily the mission of many of these organizations to be great at cybersecurity. But, you know, hospitals treat patients and make people healthy. That's the idea. You know, drug manufacturers make drugs to keep people healthy. That's their goal. No, nowhere in there is cybersecurity, be great at cybersecurity. But you know, it is a requirement to do business. And well, my splitness on this is, you know, I personally feel like cybersecurity has been and should always be core to any business decision, any funding, any investment that's being made, because it contributes directly to the mission. Like you can't do those, you can't treat patients and manufacture drugs if your systems are down. And yet, like that has not, I think, been something that's been prioritized highly enough. For years, organizations have, generally speaking, not all, there's some great examples of people who really got this, have not done enough to maintain security protections commensurate with the risks that they face, the reality of the world. You know, so the bittersweet side is like, you know, I'm glad to see we've got this carrot and carrot approach. I'm calling it a carrot and carrot approach because I don't know if there is a stick yet. But there's this carrot and carrot approach that HHS is promoting, or at least suggesting will be coming, where you know there will be certain reward and or penalty for being good or bad at this. But I don't love to see the fact that it had to come through a government mandate. I feel like we should have been able to figure this out ourselves. And having the government come in and do it, while it is very necessary at this point, given history, it still strikes me as like we in the security community keep needing to do a better and better and better job of articulating the value that security returns to the business so that it is captured and funded like any other mission-oriented activity the business does. So, you know, I don't want us to lose focus that security has value and we need to keep driving towards that. But I do think in this case, given the state of things, having additional funding mechanisms available to organizations that simply can't get there is something that's going to, you know, keep Americans safe and stable, you know, and certainly organizations near where I live up and running because we need all of the hospitals we have.
And finally, Taylor, are there other sorts of challenges that you see right now in the healthcare sector where it relates to cybersecurity that aren't being addressed by this, strategy that's being laid out? And what keeps you up at night?
You know, I think we're in the early days of the medical device security, you know, rollout. I still am very concerned that medical device manufacturers haven't really let the FDA's new guidance sink in and are actually doing what the guidance requires. I think there's, you know, I think it's still early days, which might explain a lot of that. But I do think that there's still a lot of work left to be done and a lot of fallout that we're going to read more about around how you know, medical devices are doing with respect to the new guidelines that were put out and enforced last year. So that's one area that I'm interested in seeing and hearing about. And like, you know, if you just to put this into context, you know, medical devices, if you're listening to this podcast, you might be thinking I'm talking about like a pair of scissors or a scalpel or something. It's like, no, I'm talking about software-enabled equipment that's being used to diagnose, treat, you know, a patient. And many of those come with very complicated software and hardware, including AI. And it's probably the one function of procurement of these devices is where almost all of the new technology that is entering a hospital it comes through these devices. So it's a big deal if you think about it. You know, a lot of what is entering the ecosystem and is being attacked are these things. And they are also things that are used to keep people alive and healthy. And so like, you know, making sure that we're doing enough there couldn't have come soon enough. I'm glad to see it coming, but I'm really interested into seeing what's next. I'm also interested in seeing like how HIPAA is going to evolve. If it doesn't get into prioritizing availability and integrity of data now, we're still gonna, have to deal with mitigating, these direct risks to human safety. I think the integrity piece is really important because almost all of this data that's being collected by these healthcare systems, we're in the age of AI now, so all of these organizations are looking to use AI, which means the accuracy of the data that you use on is really important. If we don't have really strong controls over the data coming in, how it's being used, how it's being maintained and managed, the next round of medical innovation that's being built on the back of this data is going to be inherently flawed. And so I'm a little worried about that. I'm really curious how things like consent, meaning like a patient consents to their data being used for a certain area, might also get in the way of medical innovation. And what I mean to say is, if AI isn't trained with enough data on a particular problem, because people have said, don't use this to train your AI model, I feel like there's going to be, technology that's built that isn't, trained effectively and could, end up doing something other than what it's for. So I'm also thinking about medical data integrity and then the downstream use of it and whatever the second order effects are. So all fun Friday night activities at the Lehman household. This is what I talk about with my kids.
Well, lots to think about, certainly, Taylor. Thank you so much. I've been speaking to Taylor Lehman. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.